Landscape architect Jens Jensen came to the United States from Denmark in 1884. He fell in love with the Iowa landscape, and it influenced his work for the rest of his life. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nubbe. Today we're talking about the life, work, and legacy of landscape architect Jens Jensen. He's being honored by the Danish Immigrant Museum in Elkhorn with an exhibit about his life and a prairie landscape park that spreads over 30 acres. This hour I'll talk with his biographer, his great-great-grandson, the landscape architect who designed the prairie landscape park, and the director of the Danish Immigrant Museum. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Landscape architect Jens Jensen is not a household name for most of us, but all of us have felt his influence in our environment. He immigrated to the United States from Denmark in 1884. He worked at Luther College in Decorah for 3 years, where he created the master plan for the campus layout. Then he moved to Chicago to work for the West Park Commission. He fell in love with the Midwestern landscape and set about creating natural-looking parks and gardens featuring native plants. The Danish Immigrant Museum in Elkhorn has an exhibition right now showcasing his influence, and the Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park on the 30-acre property of the museum is taking shape. This hour, we're going to talk about Jens Jensen, his life, his ideas, and his legacy. With me right now is Bob Gracie. He is the author of Jens Jensen, Maker of Natural Parks and Gardens. He's also the director of the Matai Botanical Gardens and Nichols Arboretum in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and teaches at the University of Michigan. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today. And Jens Jensen, as I mentioned, he immigrated to the United States from Denmark in 1884. He was in his early 20s then when he left. So growing up, can you give us an idea of what influenced his ideas about landscape?
He grew up in Denmark during a time that the part of Denmark where he grew up, Schleswig, was occupied by the Germans. And the Danish people basically responded by having a series of folk schools that were meant partly at least to really make sure that the children learned their Danish traditions. And a lot of the teaching was held out of doors and a series of outdoor celebrations. And he brought a lot of that with him, this sort of connectedness to landscape that he wanted to incorporate in his designs here in the United States to help American people sort of be as attached to their landscape and celebrate outside in the way that he had been influenced in Denmark. So as he got to know more of the Midwestern landscape, he was very enamored with how he could create landscapes like Luther College or someone's private home to really celebrate their natural heritage.
Can you put him in context for us? I mean, when he came to the United States in 1884, what kind of movements were there in landscape design at that time?
Well, this was a period where there was like a really increasing move to have parks in big cities. Frederick Olmsted had created Central Park in New York. Well, the Chicago Park System had been set up in 1869. And so there was also the sense that parks and landscapes had a real calming influence on people's lives, and that open space was important for the general health of people, particularly in big cities. And there also was a sense of loss, that there was a lot of land, or we were losing a lot of our natural heritage. And so there were a number of individuals that were trying to protect land. And this was also the period that people were starting to talk about ecology. One of Jensen's colleagues, Henry Coles at the University of Chicago, was the first to really coin the phrase, or is considered sometimes the father of ecology, from his work on the Indiana dunes, looking at how plant changes happen. So Jensen was really thrown into the mix of all those ideas and people in terms of starting his career in landscape architecture.
I think when a lot of us think back to those times, I mean, the work of Olmsted in New York City was kind of groundbreaking, setting aside this, in fact, not kind of groundbreaking, very much so, setting aside this large green space in a very naturalistic way. I think a lot of us think about the big estates of the time with manicured lawns and almost a very artificial look. Was this somewhat revolutionary to think about breaking with that and creating what would look like a more natural environment?
It was a pretty novel idea, and particularly to even go one step further and use the plants that were native to the prairie region as part of this design. One of the first gardens that Jensen created after he had moved to Chicago was the what he called the American Garden in Union Park, where he brought many of the prairie plants from the countryside and thought that these city people who moved to the city from the countryside, would recognize these plants as friends and want to have them close at hand. And the whole nursery industry was really ill-equipped to handle that Jensen and some of his contemporaries were having to go wild collect plants that they were using in their gardens. But he felt that there was something wrong with these very formalistic gardens that were more common in European countries when under a monarch, that he thought that in a democratic country we ought to have more open, sort of free-flowing landscapes, and that they ought to really use the plants that were found here naturally. And so that was a big change for a lot of people.
Can you give me an example? As he was developing these places and growing in stature, can you describe for me one of the creations that he made so that we can understand how he would have engineered the environment?
Well, he thought, for instance, that people ought to experience sunrise and sunsets. And so often he would have like an open view to watch the sun come up in the morning, and, you know, it's a different axis in the winter versus the summer, but he thought those things were important, that watching sunsets were often important. So oftentimes his designs were centered around a clearing or an opening that he knew that people liked to, on these hot summer days, stand in the shade. So there would be a shady walk around the edges of these open spaces, and you would view into the sunny opening. He was particularly interested in people seeing the change in the seasons. And so there'd be the early spring wildflowers, and there would be dramatic fall color. And he thought these kinds of dramatic moments would really inspire us to care more about the landscape. And whether it be a college campus, or whether it be a public park, or whether it be your private home, he thought that having these things around you really, you know, help reduce your stress and help you feel at home in the particular region, wherever it was you lived, and particularly here in the Midwest.
I visited one of his creations, Fairlane, the Ford Estate in Dearborn, Michigan, and talking about the sunrise and the sunset, he engineered that property so that there was a clearing where the sun would be perfectly centered at the summer solstice.
Right.
And you could witness the sunset. I think that's an excellent example of how engineered his landscapes were, because if you're in one of his landscapes, it does feel like a natural and beautiful area, but these didn't happen by accident. He really did engineer them to create an experience, right?
Right. And there was also, just by the way he shaped the space, to make it feel larger than it was, so bending that meadow slightly. He also was particularly enamored with some of the small trees found in the prairie, the hawthorn that has mostly horizontal branches. He talked about feeling like the crabapple trees were particularly emblematic of Iowa, and both crabapples and American plum. And so he then would take these plants and really use them artistically in his landscapes to get people to appreciate what they otherwise might think is just sort of common plants that they'd find along a roadside.
When did you learn about Jens Jensen?
Well, I guess I probably learned a little bit about him back when I was taking some landscape architecture history classes as an undergrad, but it was really at the University of Wisconsin, where I did my graduate work, that several professors there were particularly enamored with Jensen's work and urged me to study him. And that's where I got hooked in terms of getting to know more about him and about his work.
How have you been influenced by him?
Well, I've definitely learned to think about landscapes spatially a bit differently, like you described, that these central spaces that interplay with light in creative ways. And I think become much more sensitive to how I use plants in landscape to think about ways that I can use landscape design to really help people feel more attached to their personal landscapes or the region or country where they live. He also was very involved in a lot of local conservation efforts to set aside state parks, and saw that particularly the landscapes that he was doing in the city ought to be teaching people to really care about what happened to the broader landscape. So I sense that, too, that in the designs that I create, I really want to encourage people to care about the broader landscape and conservation issues.
In the preface of your book, you write that when you were writing the book, a friend of yours made fun of you even, teased you a little bit about you. Why are you writing about Jens Jensen? And what was your response to that? Why is it important for us to know about this man?
Well, I think that he really left a pretty incredible legacy in terms of both designs that he created, particularly across the Midwest, but across the country. And I think that many of the principles of his design still hold a lot of credibility, that his designs tended to be, in my mind, sort of an early version of sustainability in terms of trying to create a landscape that requires less water, that is more energy efficient. But I think we all long to feel a sense of regional identity. And his designs show how you can take this palette of natural features found in your region and really shape them into works of art in ways that inspire people. And so that I think is really worth learning about and discovering, you know, how we can emulate some of those same kinds of principles or ideas about designs and cities that we create today.
Do you feel that many of his innovations are being implemented still today?
Yeah, I think they are, both aesthetically, that there are a number of people who've tried to emulate his style, but I think that we're probably more advanced in some respects in terms of understanding how to replant or create a prairie. There's still a lot we don't know, but we know a lot more about what we can do in terms of taking old cornfields and turning it into prairie habitat or restoring some integrity to wetlands that have been badly disturbed. We have some challenges. I don't think he encountered or understood some of the problems with invasive species that we face today, but I do think that people have taken some of his core ideas and really put them into practice.
Bob Gracie, thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you.
Bob Gracie is the author of Jens Jensen, Maker of Natural Parks and Gardens. In a moment, I'll be talking to Jensen's great-great-grandson, Jens Jensen. I'll also talk with Bill Tischler, well-known landscape architect, and John Mark Nielsen of the Danish Immigrant Museum. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about the life, work, and legacy of landscape architect Jens Jensen. He immigrated to the United States in 1884 from Denmark. He spent a few years in Decorah, Iowa, where he developed the master plan for the campus of Luther College. He went on to become extremely influential in the world of landscape design. He loved the natural Midwestern landscape and designed many parks and properties using native plants and features that emphasized the beauty of the natural world. His work is still influential today, and he's being honored by the Danish Immigrant Museum with an exhibit about his life and the Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park on the 30-acre property of the museum in Elkhorn. In a few minutes, I'll talk with Bill Tischler, a well-known landscape architect who was involved in designing the park, and also John Mark Nielsen, executive director of the Danish Immigrant Museum. Another man who's been very involved with designing the park has a personal stake in the project. His name is Jens Jensen. He is the great-great-grandson of Jens Jensen, and he practices ecological restoration out of Madison, Wisconsin. Hello, Jens.
Hi.
I've been talking with Bob Gracie about your great-great-grandfather's work and the time that he lived in. Jens Jensen isn't just known for his work. He was also known for being a very singular individual, very creative, opinionated, exacting. What stories have been passed down through your family about him?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there were always stories about his personality, whether it was getting in disagreements with Frank Lloyd Wright, which obviously was another very strong personality, that a person he was acquaintances with. Or, arguing with his clients, things like that, about, the kind of the direction of projects or things like that. But, I mean, there's also a lot of stories about just his generosity and, being involved with my grandfather's life, because his father wasn't really around that much and actually helped my grandfather through college and, marriage. I mean, he's in his wedding pictures and things like that, which is kind of interesting. I mean, he was a pretty interesting guy and, interesting kind of style and dresser too, which kind of comes out in some of the photos he's in too. So,
well, clearly the name got passed on to you. Having been named after him, did you feel a particular bond, although clearly you never knew him?
No, yeah, I never knew him. I mean, he died in 1951, and so, 30 years before I was born. But I guess I think everybody in our family sort of had a connection to him, just because we learned about his work, and my brother and sister and I are very into the outdoors and the environment and nature and things like that. So, and then knowing that kind of reinforced that, and then when I went to school, I went into landscape architecture, partly inspired by the family connection, but just something turned out that I was very much interested in, and kind of went the route of ecological restoration, which, more or less what is what he was doing at that point, without really, having that term being introduced at that point. It was such a new field. So,
do you think that this is a direction you would have gone if you hadn't had his legacy to sort of guide you in that direction?
I mean, I would like to think I would have done it regardless, because, when I did it, and when I am still, in the field today doing, ecological restoration, I mean, it is definitely something I enjoy and feel passionate about. So I'd like to think, yeah, I would have, done it. But, would I have been exposed to landscape architecture in the manner that I was? Maybe not, so maybe I wouldn't have. Because, the field is not totally well known. And, I tell people ecological restoration, and, usually takes a little explanation that goes along with it, because it isn't always commonplace. I would have thought that I would have, just because of my connection to it and my interest in the subject and in the environment. But, I think that definitely helped me get introduced to the field.
Have you spent much time really studying his work?
I have spent a good amount of time. I mean, Bob Gracie, as you mentioned, I mean, I have his book, and really, he's more of an expert on Bill, and Bill as well, or more, Bill Tischer are more experts on Jens than I am. So, I mean, learning a lot about his projects there, and I grew up in the Chicago area, so we'd often go to the parks, and you would see evidence of the original design, even though some of the parks have been changed. And during my college at UW-Madison, I did some projects on Jens Jensen project, and then actually at my previous job, I did a project on a Jens Jensen landscape rehabilitation as well. And then with this project at the Danish Museum, we went into more detail and kind of dug into some more of his concepts. And I've read a lot of his essays, Siftings for one, and been up to the clearing many times. So it's definitely something that's been present in my life for a while.
Tell me about the clearing.
The clearing was kind of a retreat area that Jens established in Door County, Wisconsin, which, if you look at Wisconsin, people often hold up their hand as like a mitten. It's kind of the glove of the mitten, if you will, that peninsula that sticks out into Lake Michigan. And he set up this clearing to be sort of a retreat to get away from city life, to get back to the kind of the folk art, the kind of the Danish folk school tradition, which John Mark would definitely be able to elaborate on more than I would. But so it's an area where he'd bring students up there, he'd bring family members, friends, and they would do work projects, they would do art, they would do poetry, and it's this very picturesque setting on these cliffs overlooking Green Bay, an area for contemplation as well. And clearing is a clearing in the woods, but also a kind of a clearing of the mind. You know, it's kind of a double meaning there. So it was for, getting closer to nature, but also just kind of clearing your mind and, you know, place of reflection as well.
And do you find that it does that for you?
I think so, actually. There's a there's a cliff house at the clearing that's built right into these cliffs. You know, the Niagara, on the Door County Peninsula is that Niagara Escarpment, which is the same rock formation that goes all the way to Niagara Falls, and on the west side of the peninsula is all the Niagara Escarpment. So it's this about 40 to 50 foot cliff, I believe, right on the lake. And there's a cliff house built right into the cliff house. And I actually spent the night in that one night. It was kind of interesting. It was built by Jens, I think, in the 20s or 30s. And I don't know. It was a pretty interesting place to stay. And I think it does kind of make you think. You know, it's got this nice vista, and it's very quiet. And definitely a good place for reflection.
I want to bring Bill Tischler into the conversation now, since the two of you have worked together to design the Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park. Bill Tischler is Emeritus Professor of Landscape Architecture at the University of Wisconsin and the editor of Midwestern Landscape Architecture. Hello, Bill.
Hello. Good to be here.
Thank you so much for being here today. And how long have you been familiar with the work of Jens Jensen?
Well, I'd heard of Jens Jensen because I grew up on the Door County Peninsula in the town of Bailey's Harbor. And some of my family's friends were very close to Mr. Jensen and worked with him. So I have been familiar with him for quite some time. But I never really dug into the meaning of his work and his philosophy until I joined the faculty at the University of Wisconsin in 1964. And I have mentioned Jensen in virtually every course I've taught since that time, spanning a course of time over about 40 years. So he was indeed an intriguing character, and he moved to Door County in 1935 after he closed his practice in Ravinia. And he still was very active in many conservation-related, environmental-related causes. He was a real visionary, a real pioneer, a real ecologist before the term became popular.
When you first started digging into his work and learning about his professional work and legacy, what was it that really struck you?
Well, I was very impressed by, I think, my first visit to the clearing, the delightful setting on the shores of Green Bay, looking out over Lake Michigan, high atop the limestone bluffs, and the unique log buildings that Jensen moved and constructed to the site, and the curriculum that took place there in the Danish folk school tradition, courses in ornithology, photography, nature study, watercolor painting, weaving, and so on. It has a remarkable setting, and I think remarkable benefits for people who spend that week up there taking one of their courses.
Let's talk about some of the things that his work has. He did so much work designing so many parks and so many personal properties. What are some of the real telltale signs that this is a work of Jens Jensen? What are some of his trademarks?
Well, Jensen was really a genius at reading the landscape, that is to say, understanding the particular characteristics of the given area where he was working. And he liked to reflect those qualities in what he did. He did this by the use of native plants, native stone work, and the way the stones were laid up. And he always felt that he once said at one time, before I draw a single line on paper, I have the whole concept of a plan thought out. There's a nice sense of harmony, of relationship among the qualities, the individual features of a plan that all go together in a total plan for whatever kind of property he would have been working on.
I think some people, when they hear about someone designing a natural landscape, they probably think, well, what is there to design? But many of these parks and properties that he designed were highly engineered, although they're beautiful natural areas. He really did a great deal to not just design the space, but engineer the experience that you would have when you were there.
Yes, there. The Jensen Archives is at the Morton Arboretum in Lyle, Illinois, and there are many interesting early photographs there of some of the projects in the process of being built, And what's intriguing about them are the teams of horses and wagons, the many teams of horses and wagons helping to move the land and reshaping the landscape. And then when it was all done, you'd never know that it was a designed landscape. Often people think, did somebody really design this? It looks so natural. It looks like Mother Nature herself did it initially.
He designed often long and winding paths through the properties that he worked on. Why was that?
Well, he wanted to get people out to get close to nature and observe things as he would like to do. He would develop paths in some of his projects to the sunset, paths to the sunrise, paths through birches where they could be seen at night by moonlight, paths that worked the spaces so that they were in a dogleg-shaped form. And when you're standing at one end, you couldn't really see what was around the turn. There was a sense of mystery about it, a sense that would draw people further into the space itself.
A delayed view, I think, is the term that I've heard.
That would be correct. Yes, that would be correct.
He also made his paths quite narrow.
Probably because he wanted to disturb the natural vegetation and the natural features of a site as little as possible.
Water was often a feature in his work. How did he use water?
He was a master at using water. He was highly influenced by the qualities of Lake Michigan. In his home in Denmark, from the second floor, he could look out over the sea. And when he came to America, the prairie reminded him of the sea. But he also liked to use water and was a master at it, and included water features in many of his parks. His favorite park was Douglas Park in Chicago, because that's one of the few parks in that city that he designed essentially from the very beginning. Many of the other parks, Humboldt, Douglas, Garfield, Union, and so on, were parks that had been designed previously by another architect and landscape architect, William LeBaron Jenney. Later, Jensen was called in to redesign many of these parks. So Columbus Park is really one of his best examples, and there's wonderful use of water there. Waterfalls, rock formations around the water area, around the ponds. He was a master at using water, as he was with most of the other natural features of a landscape.
There's a story that gets told about him about how he was trying to build a sort of a gentle rapids in a park, and the man who was working for him was building it. And according to Jensen, he created an abrupt mountain cascade instead of this gentle waterfall that he wanted. And so he asked the man to go home and listen to Mendelssohn so that he could better understand what he was looking for. When you were preparing to design the park that you have been working on, did you do anything like that to try to get into the Jensen mindset?
Well, we certainly paid close attention to Jensen's ideas and philosophy and design concepts. We didn't listen to any classical music by Mendelssohn. That's a good story about Jensen. That is a true story.
Well, Jens, I want to bring you back into the conversation. Are there particular features of your great-great-grandfather's work that particularly move you?
Well, I think the field I'm in is, for lack of a better term, I guess we call it ecological restoration. And really, he was, you know, essentially doing that before there really was a term for it. And like Bill said, you know, he was practicing ecology before it became really well known. You know, I take a lot of very kind of high, like, concepts from him that I think have implications today, you know, for use in my work, you know, the use of native plants in their respective habitats, you know, tailoring a site to when we design sites, letting the site kind of decide what's going to be there, you know, tailoring our plan to the site rather than just trying to do cookie-cutter designs wherever we go. And also picking out, you know, remnant qualities of the site. It's like when we designed the Danish Museum, I mean, just seeing the site and driving around the landscape, I mean, it just, to me, it was just obvious what we had to do there. You know, we had to do a prairie restoration. We had to do a wetland restoration. It just made the most sense. You know, we're not trying to put something in there that's not appropriate and that really wouldn't survive.
You've been involved in seed selection for the prairie restoration, for the wetland restoration as well. How do you decide what plants to include?
Yeah, that's kind of a... that can be a process, and really, I mean, we have a lot of literature that gives us a kind of a pretty good estimate of what plants actually go county by county in, like, you know, Wisconsin and Iowa, and then, you know, in the Illinois kind of Chicago area as well. We use that sort of as a start, and then we use our experience of knowing, like, what plants work together, what plants actually will get established, because it's great to say, oh, yeah, we want to go out there and have, you know, we want to have orchids and we want to have all these really conservative kind of rare species, but we also have to be somewhat practical and think, like, well, we want something that's going to get established, be sustainable, create wildlife habitat, you know, help with erosion control, and create this restoration of the prairie as well.
Well, Jens Jensen, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Jens Jensen is the great-great-grandson of Jens Jensen, the landscape architect, and we're talking about today his life, his work, and his legacy. In just a moment, we'll be back. I'll continue my conversation with Bill Tischler, a well-known landscape architect. We're talking about the design for the Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park at the Danish Immigrant Museum in Elkhorn. This is Talk of Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we're talking about the life, the work, the legacy of landscape architect Jens Jensen. He came to the United States from Denmark in 1864. He became very influential in designing natural parks that included natural features and native plants all over the Midwest. He lived in Iowa for a time, and he designed the master plan for the Luther College campus. He's being honored by the Danish Immigrant Museum in Elkhorn with an exhibition called Jens Jensen, Celebrating the Native Prairie. And the museum is also turning its 30-acre property into the Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park under the guidance of Bill Tischler, Emeritus Professor of Landscape Architecture at the University of Wisconsin and Editor of Midwestern Landscape Architecture. Bill Tischler is still with us, and joining us now is John Mark Nielsen, Executive Director of the Danish Immigrant Museum. Hello, John Mark.
Hello.
Jens Jensen spent time in Iowa. He certainly left his mark on Luther College. But why honor someone who spent so little of his time actually here in this state?
Well, there are several reasons. One, of course, he was a Danish American, very proud of his Danish roots, but also very proud of his American citizenship. And I think it was that merging between the two experiences that attracted us to celebrating him. And then we were privileged to have 30 acres, as you've indicated. And so to be able to transform that back to the native prairie, away from the soybeans and corn, which are very important to Iowa, of course, but to preserve some element of that native prairie as we found it in western Iowa was important to us. And so one of our former board members, an architect himself, really felt that through Jens Jensen we had an opportunity to open up the traveling public to new possibilities and to reach out to new audiences.
Bill, when you were approached about designing this landscape park, how did you get started? Because this is more than just a prairie restoration. You were in many ways recreating the work of Jens Jensen.
Well, Jens Jensen has always been one of my true heroes. And when the opportunity came along to work on the Danish Immigrant Museum site, I thought this will be a great way to really recreate some of the kinds of things that Jensen loved and did in his work. So I was very excited about that. And then when I first came to Elkhorn a couple of years ago, I was very impressed by the museum building and the collections there and the site itself. It was quite large and open, and it had a lot of potential.
So tell me about your design.
Well, some of the site has been regraded so as to take down an earthen berm that was running through the site so as to improve on the quality of the views. A pond, a wetland area was proposed and was built. And the site was regraded in such a manner that part of it would form an amphitheater. There was a trail proposed surrounding, going around the site, and a couple of council rings were suggested, one of which is already built, I'm delighted to see.
And council rings were something that Jensen often worked into his designs. Tell me about them.
Yes, that was like his trademark. They were low circular stone formations, and he very much liked to use them because not only did they represent some of the kinds of things and places that he had experienced in his youth in Denmark, sitting around a campfire telling stories or perhaps singing patriotic Danish songs, and also he had a lot of respect for Native Americans, and he felt that they would sit around their council fires at night. And he also felt that a council ring was a very democratic feature. No one would sit at the head of the table. And while people were sitting there talking, you could look everyone in the eye. So this is something he felt was very democratic, very American, and he used them in many, many of his designs.
We talked earlier about the long winding paths that he liked to create so that there was a sort of a delayed gratification. You know, people would walk through nature and experience the natural environment before they would reach the big view or the vista that they were heading toward. And I have been to one of his sites in Michigan. And of course, in Michigan, it's a forested landscape, and so there's a path through the forest before you get to a clearing and you see a lake and there's a break in the trees where you can see the sunset. With the Iowa landscape and the prairie landscape, of course, we don't have much to hide of view. So did you try to recreate that kind of experience?
We didn't propose that many large plants. That's right. It was mainly the low-level plants that would be indigenous to prairie areas. Some of them could get up perhaps to 6 feet tall, but nothing very large, although in a few places we did propose some trees. When I visited the Jensen Farm in Denmark some years ago, there are a number of interesting features about that site, and one was the tree-lined roadway or pathway that he would follow to attend school, and he often wrote about this in his books. We did recreate something like that as well. And also, because Jensen's home was located in an area where much of the where some rather important battles took place between the Germans and the Danes back during that war in their history, there still remain a number of earthen fortifications, these pentagonal-shaped dugouts in the ground where soldiers could hide and be protected from the gunfire and cannon fire. So we suggested that as well, and that is still being discussed by the people at the Jensen Museum.
And if I might add,
sure.
In addition to the trees, the wild plums were a signature, and he wrote about them actually in his work Siftings. He writes, "If I were taken to the state of Iowa blindfolded and there my blinds removed, I could tell where I was by the numerous native plums in hedgerows and in other places. I've never seen the plum more numerous anywhere, its sweet-scented blossoms changing from pure white to different shades of cream or pink or even rose." And as I drive across Iowa in the springtime, those plum thickets along the way just are a signature of Iowa, and so that's been incorporated into the park as well.
Now, of course, the Prairie Landscape Park is a permanent part of the Danish Immigrant Museum, and it will continue to develop over the years. But right now, as I mentioned earlier, there is an exhibit about the life of Jens Jensen in the museum. When we visit, what can we find about the man?
Well, there will be a historical overview of his life, born, as Bill mentioned, in that area that was contested between Denmark and Germany. What we're trying to do is to present the background, a backstory to maybe the shaping of Jens Jensen's life. And then as he comes to the United States and starts as a street sweeper in the Chicago West Park system, and yet very quickly moves to becoming a notable figure and a director and a designer. And so we've laid out some of the plans that he had. He had, for example, what he called the American Garden, where he used some native plants and work them into a park in such a way that that the people who came said, well, these are the very plants that we know here in Illinois. They're not like the parks that we're familiar with where ornamentals have been brought in from other areas. And so we talk a little bit, or we display a little bit of about that plan within. And then there's video, and we have an area where one can design one's own park. There are trees and paths and prairie rivers that one can lay down to play with the ideas that are presented in the text of the exhibit.
A few minutes ago, Bill said that that Jens Jensen would say that he had the whole plan in his mind before he drew a single line on paper. So did he leave much of his actual work on paper behind? It sounds like much of his process was in his head.
He did, actually. There are many letters and photographs and articles about his work. He was quite a prolific writer, actually, and one of the things I've done recently is to compile his writings into an anthology, which is going to be published in October by the University of Wisconsin Press. But he was a prolific writer, and when I went to the exhibit yesterday for the first time, which is very well done, I must say I could almost feel his presence there.
Well, we do have his bust there by Christian Peterson, the longtime artist in resident at Iowa State University. And so we have that on loan from Iowa State University Museums, which we're very grateful for.
So you can see them. And there are also photographs, although in the research that I've done, I saw the same photograph over and over and over. Are there very many photographs of him?
Yes, there are. And there are other photographs than that one, but that's such a signature one. And people say, is that Mark Twain? Is that?
He really does look like that with the shock of white hair. And
Yes.
But in response to your question about plans and documents remaining from his work. Yes, there are a good number of plans in the Chicago Parks Department where he worked at one time. And also many of them have been brought to the University of Michigan and at the Jens Jensen Archives at the Morton Arboretum in Lisle, Illinois.
Unfortunately, many were of his own personal drawings, though, were destroyed in a fire up at the clearing in the earlier time. So,
the work that you'll have on display and the information that you'll have on display at the museum, what do you want people to take away from that when they come in and they learn about the life of this man?
First of all, the sense of the contributions that immigrants do make to this country and to this community. Now, it happens to be that this is a Danish immigrant, but we, after all, are a nation of many, many different migrants coming here, and to experience that story of a man with a passion who has a vision, who realizes that vision through his life is an important message that we would like visitors to take away. And then also with both the exhibit and the park as it slowly unfolds, we hope that visitors will walk away thinking about some of the important questions. How do we use the land? What do we use it for? Do we mine it to gain quick returns, or do we look at sustaining the landscape? And then, thirdly, that there is a beauty, there is an incredible aesthetic in the wide open prairie spaces. I think oftentimes we think, you know, it has to be spectacular mountains or maybe even limestone bluffs over Lake Michigan. But the prairie of western Iowa and the Lusk Hills is a beautiful landscape indeed.
Bill, in landscape architecture, clearly the name Jens Jensen is very well known, and people know about his work and his legacy. Outside of that world, his name is not one that is a household name. And there are contemporaries of his, Frederick Law Olmsted, for example, who most of us do know that he created Central Park in New York City. Why do you think that Jens Jensen isn't that kind of household name for many people?
Well, there are several reasons. First of all, Jensen was an immigrant, unlike Olmsted and many of the other landscape architects who had their start in Olmsted's office in the East. he didn't care much for the Easterners. He thought he called them high priests. And he was a member of the American Society of Landscape Architects for only 2 years and gave the welcome address for their annual meeting in Chicago. But he didn't like that group either. Jensen was independent. He felt that there was some elitism among his colleagues. And landscape architecture as a profession itself, it's not a large profession. It's not that well known. So Jensen is only now becoming better known and getting the attention and respect that he deserves.
When he designed a landscape, he was aware that his work would always be changing. He designed an area in honor of Abraham Lincoln in Springfield, Illinois, where he talked about how the oak grove that he planted would hopefully grow and propagate and stand for thousands of years, long after all the other memorials about Lincoln had crumbled. So he was aware that his work would last, but it would not be static. So as you think about this landscape that you've designed for the Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park, how do you see it changing over the years?
Like all landscapes, it will change, and the plants will get larger, and they will, of course, change in color and texture during the seasons of the year. One of the unique aspects of the profession of landscape architecture, which makes it rather different from the other arts and sciences, is that you're dealing with change. You're dealing with trees that start out as acorns and then grow to maturity and then perhaps die of oak wilt. This is a very important consideration and something that Jensen certainly always kept in mind.
When people come and visit this park that you've created, what do you want them to take away from it?
Well, I want them to take away a sense of beauty of the prairie, a deeper knowledge of the man who was so influenced by prairies and reflected them in much of his work, and the personality of Jensen and the vision that he had. He was a true pioneer and visionary long before ecology became popular. He wrote about many of these things, and they were amazingly visionary in terms of predicting how America could improve for future generations based on some of his ideas and other conservation-related ideas as well.
Bill Tischler, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bill Tischler is Emeritus Professor of Landscape Architecture at the University of Wisconsin and editor of Midwestern Landscape Architecture. He designed the Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park at the Danish Immigrant Museum. John Mark Nielsen is the Executive Director of the Danish Immigrant Museum in Elkhorn. The exhibit, Jens Jensen Celebrating the Native Prairie, runs through next March. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Technical support from Rick Fredrickson in Des Moines today. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa are available at iowapublicradio.org. You can send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, non-traditional Iowa writers and artists. Talk of Iowa is a production of IPR News.